Second Thessalonians, praise the Lord, good to see you, honored to be here, and love Brother Peacock, has been a blessing to our church, as many of you know. Well, good morning, fellow Bible believers, by the way, good to see our Michigan coalition this morning, amen, and glad to see some old friends and looking forward to some new friends, amen. It's something about Bible believers having a kindred spirit, amen. Appreciate that, glad to have my wife with us, with me. And with you. And you can go ahead and stand. I see that's the moving of the Spirit, so we'll go along with that. And we'll open up 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse number 6. We'll start there. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Brother Nagolsky, could you pray for us this morning? Amen. You may be seated. We're glad to be here. I have Mackenzie at home. She's nearing 12, and I got twins who are 4, Joshua and Carly, and they're a blessing. You know, in Sunday school, they are learning some things, and the teachers learn some things, and I got to be careful because, you know, I'm the pastor. They're my kids, And they were talking about sin, and Joshua said, oh, I don't sin, but my daddy does a lot. So we learned stuff like that, amen. Then walking in here, I mean, praise the Lord, what a blessing, and first time here, and just the organization, the wonderful, you can just sense the wonderful planning that's been taking place, being in the Holy of Holies back there in the office, and then out here. And out of everything that I noticed, you know what struck me out of everything was that organ. I thought, there must be a divinely ordered situation for that organ to get here. So anyway, praise the Lord. I wasn't here, but I did see it online. Amen. So. Well, the word disorderly is mentioned 3 times in the Bible, all in this chapter. And which brings me to the idea that the church at Thessalonica must have been a Bible-believing Baptist church. And so here's Paul, and he sees this fact of this disorderliness. And I get this idea that, and I really believe, we see 1 Corinthians 14, let all things be done decently and in order. How's that for Bible believers to have something in order? Amen. And the need of that in our church, and of course, keeping it in the right place. And here in Laodicea, we have this kind of any man attitude sometimes. You know, the Laodiceans, the church of the Laodiceans. There's a self nature, you know. Men shall be lovers of their own selfies. You know, that's the time that we're living in. So we have this idea, and then in Titus, I was thinking about Titus. Let's go to Titus, a couple pages over beyond Timothy there. And Titus, you know, those Cretans, says in verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Man, it sounded like a good Baptist right there. But looking back in verse 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. And I'm thinking about Titus, you know, Titus the learning under the Apostle Paul, and maybe getting excited to go in the ministry. And then they come up to Crete, and he's talking, okay, this is where the Cretans are. And then at some point, Paul says, okay, Titus, this is where you're going to set in order the things that are wanting. Goodbye. I can just think of Titus thinking, Paul, you're leaving me to this work. I wanted to serve the Lord, but wherever the Lord has us, amen, you know, there are some things that need to be set in order. And from the family, from the, you know, not just the White House, not just the church house, but our houses, amen? And, you know, I also think of when it's talking about the Lord's Supper there in 1 Corinthians 11 about discerning the Lord's body. There's something about, we ought to think about the body of Christ and the localness of it. I don't know if localness is a word, but the believers, they're literal, physical people that have Jesus Christ inside of them, and they've got to meet somewhere, and they've got a fellowship somewhere, and that doesn't make it evil or wicked or a Babylonian house, Baal house. I mean, I'm just glad we can get together and assemble as believers, amen? Praise God. Without it, man, we're missing on some things. There's an assembly where talks about, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. We get separate. I'm glad we can come apart from the world for a little while and get some fellowship in and strength and not just clubbing or doing all this silly stuff, but getting around the Word of God and the worship of God. And man, that's a blessing. And for, now, we're not supposing that gain is godliness, as some fundamentalists would maybe like to do. I understand that if I eat a frog to get more people in, I better get used to eating frogs. And so I don't like that because I don't like frogs. But I love the Word of God. When we have our teen camp or whatever we do, praise God, we need to evangelize. Praise God for that. But what about those that are, you know, who, sometimes people get neglected, and we put so much focus on, we've got to reach the world, and praise God, we need that. But there are kids that are in good homes that they need to be encouraged to stay right with God. It's that focus of that importance of the local church. We know all these things. The haven of rest from worldly music and worldly dress and worldly philosophies and worldly Alexandrian texts. I mean, if you lead somebody to the Lord, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to be able to send them to a Bible-believing church? And so there is a benefit to separation and order. You know, we have in our order of service, unless God changes it in our services on Sunday. But there are benefits that God brings through other believers. We see that in the text of Ephesians chapter 4. Where he says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That's an ongoing verb. That is something that we will need. And you know what? That means I need a pastor. I think everyone needs a pastor. Everyone needs a teacher. No one is above anything. No one's above that. We need that. I think if somebody doesn't have a pastor over them or a teacher over them, they become their own God. I there was a guy who wore a shirt that said, "I don't go to church, I am the church." You can doctrinally divide. You can rightly divide your word of God. Praise the Lord. Yes, when you get saved, you get into the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. But you know what? For some that would wear that shirt, it would be like, "No pastor can pastor me." No one can control me. Now, that's something that we got to be careful of this. Listen, I know there's this kind of an undertone, rebellious thing sometimes that we might pick up. But the fact of the matter is God established the local church and pastors and teachers for our benefit. Amen? I like going in front of my church and I feel like saying, "I am your gift. Please like me. You better like me. God gave me to you." Smile. And then in Ephesians 4:12, the work of the ministry. Man, that's work for the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That ought to bring order into this. Paul, in that text, he said that we didn't walk disorderly among you. He's looking at them. I like in Philippians, he talked about, and 4:9, Philippians 4:9, just in this, hold in Philippians 4:9, and then in 2 Thessalonians there, where he said, and you follow the tradition, you go back in chapter 2, and you see some good traditions. Now, in all the most other texts I find in the Bible, tradition is negative, right? Colossians 2:8-9 there. But there are some things that are good that we see in the church that are good to pass on, contend for the faith, and so forth. And in 4:9 here it says, these things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Well, where in the world are you going to see the Apostle Paul do something unless you're with the assembly of believers? Well, we're out street preaching. Yeah, you can see that in evangelism. But it's good when we're around the brothers and somebody praises the Lord or worships God or you sing together for the Lord. Some things that you can see and learn from in the local church. And thank God for that. The problem is sometimes I think that we can underestimate. The world underestimates the church, doesn't it? They don't care. They can care less. The times that they may give respect if they have an agenda behind it. But God uses the foolishness of preaching. The world could care less, right? But sometimes in believers, we can have an antipathy sometimes towards the local church. I think it's the tendency of Laodicea. We can get a lone wolf. You see how I said we? You know, just being nice. We can get a lone wolf mentality. Or sometimes, and this statement is true, bless God, I believe the book. I just follow the book. Well, we all follow the book, praise the Lord. But if you follow the book, then you should go to a local church. If you follow the book, you should listen to your pastor because he's going to get up and preach from that book and turn the pages from that holy book and preach from that book. And so it is a dangerous thing to use the book to justify a rebellion against the local church. And so, man, I wouldn't want to do that, for sure. I mean, nothing can compare with live action, spit flying, preaching. I mean, you can't, I mean, the problem is with the, you know, the live stream, you just hear stuff about organs and stuff like that. But when you get in service, you actually see there are other things that take place. We've capitalized on convenience and neglected the responsibility we have, and we become selfish. And so we have families that grow up with children that have they lose out on friendships and the stability that they could have in the Lord. And so I read in Ruckman's commentary the other day in Hebrews on Hebrews 10:25 there. And he said if he would drive 200 miles to attend an assembly. How far would you drive? Problem is, where I'm at, I don't know how it is here. I've had a lot of crazy looks driving around in Florida. I'm not used to this driving in Florida. I'm Michigan. I'm used to Michigan. But, I'm used to that. But how far would you? We've got people that are 15 minutes away. Oh, you know, that's too far, preacher. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? You know, one thing I do want to get on before maybe the Lord will have us stay here, I'm not sure. But sometimes we put importance on things, and I'm glad the Lord puts passion in our hearts about things. I mean, a missionary will get up or someone on a ministry maybe to whatever it is, and they're bringing their heart, and then I begin feeling guilty that I don't have that same passion. I'll start feeling guilty that, I don't feel right with God because they're sitting there weeping over some ministry and I don't have that same desire for it. But you know what? That's actually good because God puts us each in the body of Christ in a particular place. The problem is there are times that we think there are things that are not necessary. We think that they're more feeble than we are. And we understand that as important as the ministry that you hold within your local church is very important. But even the things you don't think are necessary, they're very necessary. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13, you wouldn't find water in there if you could in your life. We know about spirit baptism. We know how to get into the body. But look at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And it goes through all of that. But look at verse number 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are what? necessary. I love the widows in our church. I mean, if our widow come up to me and they tell me something, my response is, yes, ma'am. And sometimes, if we're not careful, probably maybe even more in fundamentalism, possibly, but whatever our issue is, it is, this idea of, well, we want to, well, this person's more talented, and this person can do this, and this person can do this. There are some people that they can't do much, but I want to tell you something. It might seem feeble to you, but it's very important to God. It is more. It is very important to God. I'd rather have in my church a young girl get up or a young child get up and the best of the ability, even off key, saying, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so," than someone who has the greatest talent and gift in the world and know how to use the mic. And I'd rather hear that child every day of the week. You might think it's feeble. Has anyone thought that you were not necessary? I'm glad God felt it necessary. Obviously, there's nothing of us. It's all about the Lord. We know that. But I'm glad if anything good happens because of the Lord, but he's the one that orchestrates the body how he wants it. He doesn't always go, right? He doesn't always go to the most talented, does he? Sometimes the most talented are passed up. That's why I'm standing here right now. And so we have Moses, you know, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The Bible-believing assembly is the best group in the world that you'd ever find. It's a lovely, it's the best you can't, we got, yeah, do we have our issues and isms and all this? Oh yeah, absolutely. Warts and the whole bit. But I'm glad I'm in the body, amen. I'm glad, whatever it is, I'm just glad I'm in the body. Praise the Lord for that. We've got a man in our church, Brother Peacock, knows him, Brother Bob, and loves the Lord. He had an accident. He was traveling down old US 23 with his wife on his motorcycle and a Kubota tractor as he's passing. Right at that moment, dislodged from the trailer and hit him head on. And was on the side of the road. And I'm talking about an event that just impacted our local church. You know, someone you love. And didn't know if he was going to survive. And during those moments in the hospital, and even on the side of the road, this lady came by, happened to be a nurse, was holding his arm, his what used to be his arm, and pressed the blood against his body so he actually survived it to the hospital. And he got in there, and he would end up losing his arm. And he's still suffering from the phantom pain and all of that, and getting experimental surgeries, and going through all of that, didn't know when he was going to wake up, and praying with them, praying. God uses those times to, when you look back at some of those times, can be sweet. And we had a sweet time when he came back to church, but right before he came back in the hospital, he's laying there, he's got tubes all over the place, his family's in there, my wife, we're standing there, and we start singing, "There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore." And some of the sweetest places there, there's the locals that were sitting there singing on that happy golden shore. What a, and his son, who he'd been praying for, sitting at the other side, his tears started to go. And then my wife, so tender-hearted, her tears started to flow. You know, I'm glad for my wife because she's my tender-heartedness, amen. And she's crying, and I start to tear up a little bit, and we're singing that song, "What a Day That Will Be." And somewhere along the line, he just lifts up his thumb. The one hand he had left, and he just goes like this. And man, it just we go in, and I'd read Romans chapter 8. And then when he came in for that service, we just opened up Romans chapter 8 and read through that, where it says, "With the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." We started reading that in front of the church. Man, we had revival. Amen. Realize that some of the things that we get caught up in, and we realize how God can use that local church. I had a guy a couple years ago. I called him up and I said, "You know, I noticed you weren't in church. I want you to know I'm praying for you, and I don't know what's going on." He said, "Pastor, I'm so sorry. I had a heart attack." And I said, "Brother, you had a heart attack?" I said, "Please call us. We'll pray for you. Use your local church." Amen. So if you have a heart attack, call your preacher. But let's go on over to Revelation chapter 3 and kind of near the end here. I also think in discipleship, isn't discipleship messy? I'm glad there's some things and guys that I've discipled with, I almost feel like saying, would you please not reveal some things that I asked or did or messed up? It's just like the Lord having mercy on us. And grace is part of the whole thing. It's we don't think, you know, thank God for the local church. To live above with the saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with the saints we know, now that's a different story. In Revelation 3, we see Laodicea, right? That sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and need of nothing. That's where we are, Laodicea. Messed up. But I go back to chapter 2 of Smyrna. The parentheses in Smyrna. That local church there in Smyrna. Look at verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. Man, they were having a trouble. But I'm glad for that parenthesis. But thou art rich. It was opposite of Laodicea, right? They thought they were rich. They think they got it all, but they're a mess. But here's Smyrna. They're going through so a lot. They're going through a lot. They're whatever was going on there in Smyrna and in their local church there. But John here said, but thou art rich. Aren't you glad you're rich in Christ?
Yes.
No matter what's going on. There's some riches that we can be partakers of the divine nature, and we can get in on this thing. I was thinking about blood circulation, and I'm not going to delve too much into this, but in blood circulation, we're saved by the blood of Christ, and the blood works in the body in a particular fashion. I mean, what would happen if blood circulation decreased within the body? I mean, to find all the answers of life, I went to Google, right? You start getting numbness in your hands, right? You'll get hypertension. Some of us, we get cold. Maybe because the Lord ain't working effectively within us. And you know what happens? You get the blood flowing a little bit, some activity. You'll get some of that blood flowing again. Maybe we need to get some little exercise. You know, you look at things that cause high blood pressure or lack of blood circulation, smoking. I started going down the list, and then number 8 was loss of hair. And I know best I won't go there, but there's something about the Lord. And I think Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more. So I should be wanting to hang out with the assembly. The bride was mentioned last night. I love my bride. You think the Lord loves his bride? If you consider me a friend, then you better treat my wife right. If you don't treat my wife with respect, then no matter what you say to me or act towards me, ain't going to mean much. I mean, we're going to want to go out back. You know what I'm saying? And I would think the Lord would think similarly when it comes, when it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
Thank you, Lord.
And so, I think we ought to remember, you know, we think of those verses, love one another and edify one another. We can be more effective out there if we respect the local church in here. And I think we'll park her down there.